Shall we turn in God's word this evening to Hebrews 13? And we'll be reading verses 1 to 9. And that is 1071, page 1071 in the church Bibles. As you're turning to Hebrews 13, just to give you a little bit of context as to the letter, the author of Hebrews is not known to us for definite, and also the audience isn't known for definite, but it's thought to be to the Jews of the dispersion. And these Jews had lost their comfort blankets. They had lost the Jewish institutions that they had grown up and been familiar with. They had lost their traditions, maybe lost their standing, their friends or their families through their faith in the Lord Jesus. As we'll read, they faced pressure financially in verse 5, pressure doctrinally in verse 9, and they had been imprisoned for their faith, as we'll see in verse 3. They faced pressure from the world around them to conform to the world's ways and not to the ways of God. And as we read through, try and see the words that the author uses. He says, remember and do not forget. These things were not new truths that they had been given, but they were worthy of reminder to them. Excuse me. It was an exhortation from the author, an appeal to the listeners, saying, this is hard. The life of faith is hard, but there is help and there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight is a very simple message, but hopefully it will be a blessing to us. Shall we read then at Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 8? It says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honourable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. Consider the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods or doctrines which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Now, I hadn't heard of First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs in Texas until just a few weeks ago. The people who attend that church went to church normally on that day with various trials, difficulties, things that affected their lives. And on that day, something tragic happened. Some of those people never returned home, and all of their lives were changed forever. And there's many examples of sorrow and difficulty and suffering across our world, our fallen world, and we can name many of them. But the question I want to look at this evening together is, who do we look to when we encounter those difficulties? Who do we look to for strength when we encounter trouble in our lives? I looked at a survey as to what maybe our world does when it encounters trouble. And it said 50% of people go to their wives or their husbands for advice when they're in trouble. 30% still go to their mums and dads for advice when they're in difficulty. 17% might talk to a friend. 4% said they'd go on the internet and look for help. 3% said they'd consult an agony aunt. Some of those answers might be surprising to us, but as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what would our answer be to that question? Well, we need to look to the Bible for answers, don't we? We need to look to Scripture to give us answers when we encounter difficult things in our lives. And as I found out about what happened to that church in Texas, I felt great sorrow and great wrestling, asking the question, why, Lord? Why did a child who was 18 months old have to die? And why did an unborn baby die and 24 other people? And they're serious things, aren't they, for us to wrestle with. I was thankful by God's grace that my daily reading that day was Hebrews 13. And verse 8 really spoke to me that morning, and hopefully it will speak to us this evening. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to dissect that verse and look at each word in sequence to understand what it means and how it applies to our lives. And obviously, the author was speaking to people who were experiencing difficulty and were experiencing trouble in their lives. So hopefully it'll be a blessing to us. So the headings for this evening are actually the verse, so it should be relatively easy for you to remember the headings. So the first one is Jesus Christ. Why is what follows in the sentence in this verse important to us? Well, it's important, isn't it, because of who it speaks of. If I was to say this verse was about me, if I was to say that Peter Young is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you would say that that's nonsense. I have changed in many different ways, and you'd probably be very unimpressed with that statement. My likes and dislikes have changed. The food that I like, the people that I spend time with, and the hobbies that I have all changed. And by God's grace, my character is being changed day by day. But also importantly, I'm not self-sufficient. There are so many things that I cannot do in my life. That I do not sustain my own life. And there are many, many things that I can't do in a practical sense here on earth. But if this verse is about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, a being who's been around from eternity past to eternity future, if it's the sovereign controller of every moment, of every day, of every one of our lives across this world, then this verse becomes really, really important to us. In Acts 17, Paul, speaking to those in the Areopagus, he says about God, he says, nor is God worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. God is self-sufficient. He goes on to say, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. If that isn't someone who is important to us, the being who gives us life, breath, and all things, then what is important to us? And also, importantly, this verse speaks of the judge who has been appointed by God for each and every one of us here today. Paul goes on to speak about it in Acts 17 in the same sermon in verse 31. He says that God the Father has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man, that is Jesus Christ, whom he has ordained. This verse is important to us because it speaks of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the controller of every moment, of every one of our days, and the one who will judge us when we die. So we thought there very quickly of the Lord Jesus, what does it say, or what it means by Jesus Christ. We'll go on to the next word, which is, and this is very much a shorter point, but the word is indicates certainty, doesn't it? It indicates that there is no doubt in the mind of the author of Hebrews about what he is about to say, about the message that he is about to bring. There isn't a thought in his mind that Jesus might be the same or may be the same as he was in history past. So keep your fingers crossed and hope for the best. That just isn't in his mind. There's no doubt in the author's mind that what he is about to say, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is certain. Now we may ask, where does he get that certainty from? How can we know that certainty? So if you'll turn with me to Malachi and chapter 3 and verse 6. There's many places to look in the Bible, but this is one of my favourite verses in Scripture. My granddad was very unwell in hospital. He was just before he died, and I was very upset. And I was in the hospital car park, and my dad gave me this verse as an encouragement to me. And it speaks and says, and this is the Lord speaking, it says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." And it's a reminder to us that the Lord doesn't change. And we can be thankful. And that's how the author gets his certainty in this message, because he can see it in God's word. God's word is truth. So we've looked at Jesus Christ is. We'll next look at Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus Christ is the same. So we've looked at the certainty that the author had, and we've looked at who holds our lives in his hands. It's the one who holds our lives in the hands that this verse speaks of, and it's the author of history, him who is sovereign over everything. But what happens if that author of history has changed? What happens if the Lord Jesus Christ is fed up of sin that he sees in our world? What happens if he becomes cynical about the things that he sees happening here on earth? What happens if the Lord Jesus Christ changed in his taste, if good is now bad and bad is now good? And what happens if the gospel message changed over time? What happens if it was no longer a message of free grace and a message of salvation, but it was now a different message? It would mean a great deal to us, wouldn't it? It would completely change our lives. But we could be thankful that this verse tells us that Jesus Christ is the same. There is no changing in him. And that's great news for us, because it's great news for me because it's the rest of the sermon, but it unlocks the knowledge and the experience that the scriptures give to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can read this Bible in our own language, and we can see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can see who he is and how he dealt with people whilst he was here on earth. It's great news to us to be able to look back and to see him. So we've looked at Jesus Christ is the same. So we know who this verse is speaking about. We know that it has a certainty to it. And we know that it tells us that Jesus Christ is the same. And it means that we can look back and see who Jesus is. So if we then move on to look at Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Now, as we encounter trials and difficulties in our lives, as the Hebrews were encountering in their lives, we can look back, can't we? We can see what the Lord has done in the Bible, in church history, in our lives. And we're encouraged to look back and to see his goodness. As I was thinking about this, in preparation, I was thinking, I likened it to a kind of the same approach I would take on a CV. So when I do interviews at work for people joining my team, I look at their past history, their experiences, the things that they have done in their work lives, to then project how they will deal with the future, with the things that I will be asking them to do for me. So we're going to look tonight very quickly, and obviously not comprehensively, at some of the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is as revealed in his word. So I'm going to go through quite quickly. There's lots of different attributes and things of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can say was revealed to us yesterday, as it were, in the Bible. I'm going to give Bible verses to each one. If you want to go away and look them up, I won't expect you to look at them now, because there's quite a few of them, but if you do want to look them up, So if we start in the Bible, how can we see the Lord Jesus and all that he has done in the Bible? Well, we can see that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, Hebrews 1 and verse 2. We can see that Jesus Christ has power over that creation in Psalm 89 and Matthew 8. And we can see that Jesus Christ is the author of our faith and our salvation in Hebrews 12 verse 2. We can see that Jesus Christ has revealed God's glory, as we thought of this morning in Hebrews 1, verse 3, and the passage we looked at this morning. Jesus Christ has healed the sick. He had a great love for the people around him in Matthew 9, 35. The Lord Jesus lived the perfect life. 1 Peter 2, verse 22, he knew no sin. Jesus Christ died upon the cross for our sin. He died taking our punishment upon the cross that we might be right with the living God. Jesus Christ conquered death. He rose from the grave, didn't he? He didn't stay dead, but he rose again and he ascended into heaven. Acts 17, verse 31. There's so many things that we can see in Scripture that teach us and tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ and his character and his nature. They're so wonderful for us to read. I'm currently reading through the New Testament this year, and I've gone through the Gospels from the start of the year, and it's been an amazing experience to be able to read and to be able to see who Jesus is and how he is revealed to us in God's Word. So since the closure of the Bible, as it were. So church history, the Lord Jesus has taken the church from 12 weak disciples in Jerusalem to hundreds of millions of people throughout history. The Lord Jesus has changed lives. He has taken the brokenhearted, those who are sick and those who are lost, and he has healed them from that sickness. And it's the testimony of every believer in this room will have a testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in our lives. There is so much to be able to see. We can read in church history of the way that the Lord Jesus has worked throughout history to bring glory and honour to his name. So we've looked at the Bible, we've looked at post-Bible history. We can also see the Lord Jesus and his character in the Word, as we're thinking of the same yesterday. We can see how the Lord Jesus loved. And we've been thinking about that a lot, haven't we, on a Sunday morning, of how the Lord Jesus loved to the end. How he loved the lost, how he loved his friends, and how he loved this world that he came to die upon the cross. We can see how the Lord Jesus wept over the lost and over Jerusalem. And he also wept with those who wept, who had lost loved ones. We can see how he cared through that. The Lord Jesus taught those who had no knowledge, the foolish. He taught great things to the people around him. He also rebuked those who were lost in their sin and turned them to the true and living way. And we can also see how the Lord Jesus cared so much for the broken in Luke 4. We can see who Jesus is in the Bible. We can see his works. And I guess it's a challenge to us this evening as to how often we meditate upon all that the Lord Jesus has done in the Bible and in our lives. Do we ever stop and think of what the Lord Jesus has done for us? Do we stop and think, how has God been good to us in our past when we've maybe gone through difficult times? And he has been with us every step of the way. I was challenged as I was thinking about it. Do I often go back and think of how Christ has lifted me up and put his arms around me when I've gone through really challenging times in my life? And God has always been good. God has always been faithful. And I can see how his character has not changed from the times of the Bible to how he deals with me in my life. Do we have a hunger of reading of the Lord Jesus? Do we hunger to know more of him, to prepare us for that time in the future? Do we want to commune with the Lord Jesus and to know him through the Word of God? As I was thinking about how to kind of summarize this part of looking back and seeing the Lord Jesus in the Bible, in church history, just simply summarize, look back so that we can see forward. Our only way of knowing how Christ will look after us and care for us in the future is to see in the past and to know that he does not change. He is the same as he was yesterday. So we thought about Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and we'll think now of how that, why that is important, that Jesus Christ is the same today. Well, it's important, isn't it, for those people in Texas. It's important for us if we've been diagnosed with cancer, or if we've been we've seen death near to us in our family or our friends. It's important if we're made redundant or if we have financial difficulties. It's important to us if we encounter sorrow or pain or illness in our lives. Why is it important? It's important to know that he is the same today, because if we can see Jesus Christ then in the Bible, you can see him today. You can see his willingness to help, his ability to help, his love for us. We can see all of those examples in the scripture, the way that he dealt so lovingly with his disciples and with his church and even with ourselves. We can know and see those examples and know that Jesus Christ is no different right now at this moment in time. We don't know what tomorrow will bring to us. It may be that you're sat there thinking, well, I don't know sorrow at this moment in time. Things are okay. I don't know what your circumstances are. But maybe tomorrow something will come. Those people in Texas and many others in many circumstances have not known that something was about to change in their lives, that tragedy was about to hit them. But we must remember, as the author was exhorting them here, that now, whether that circumstance of difficulty is now or maybe it's tomorrow, we have to remember that Jesus is sufficient for us. Jesus is our comforter, he is our shepherd, and he is our teacher. And above all, the Lord Jesus is our Saviour. He is the same Saviour today as he is or was yesterday. And those people in Texas, as they knew such sorrow in their lives, I was pondering and thinking about the fact that Jesus Christ, their salvation, was the same in the moments after that happened as it was before. And we have to take hold in circumstances where tragedy comes. We have to take hold of God's promises and God's word and look to him. Romans 8:28 says, doesn't it? It says, all things work together for those for good, for those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. God has given us so many promises to show that these things will work out for our good, and he will be with us. And if we look at the passage that we read earlier in Hebrews 13, there's a wonderful promise that's given to us there. The author quotes the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 5, he says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a wonderful promise for us, that the Lord Jesus, who was the same yesterday and is the same today, will be with us every step of our lives. And then we can see the response that we should have in verse 6. It says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's a wonderful response, isn't it, to a great promise. And I guess there's a challenge in our hearts as to whether that is our response as we read that promise. Do we truly believe that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. And I pray that we will be able to respond in the same way and say that I will not fear whatever may come. We live in a very unstable world, a very changing world. There's terrorism, there's corruption, there's scandals, there's moral decay. Our world is changing because of technology, and our lives are being affected by technology. There are things like disasters, earthquakes and such like that come to us, but we have a stability in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same. And he said he will never leave us nor forsake us, and therefore we do not need to fear. So we've thought of Jesus Christ as the same yesterday, today, and then we'll just think shortly about the same forever. John Piper, a quote says, "It is crucial that Jesus Christ is the same tomorrow as he was yesterday and today, because all our hope for everlasting joy hangs ultimately on relating to him through Scripture." Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we can look forward with hope and joy to being with him in heaven for eternity, with the Jesus of the Bible. We will be with that same Jesus who has not changed forever. Because the price that was paid upon the cross, then when Jesus declared, "It is finished," upon the cross, because that price was paid and God is the same now, we are free, and one day we will be with the Lord in heaven. That's a great encouragement for us, isn't it, when we go through these trials. We know that we live in a fallen world. There are people who will hurt us and we will hurt other people. There are circumstances that will come along that cause us to long to be with him and to be away from this world. But we can know that the Lord Jesus will be the same, and the Holy Spirit will help us to see him more and more in the Word. He will help us when we encounter hardship, and he will increase that longing for us to be taken from here and to be home with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to think that he will be the same forever, and that one day we will be with him. One of my favourite passages in the Bible is in Revelation chapter 7 and verses 13 to 17. And as we look forward, maybe encountering trials and difficulties in our lives, there's a wonderful passage that gives us a view of what heaven will be like for us when we spend it with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Revelation 7 verse 13, it says, "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' So he said to me, 'These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat.'" This is my favourite verse. It says, "For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." That is a wonderful, wonderful thing for us to be able to look forward to know that in heaven there will be no more sorrow, and that the Lord Jesus will wipe away our tears that we experience here on earth. How much do we long to be with him? How much do we look forward to being with our Saviour in heaven? If I was to take you back to that situation in Texas, or maybe in your minds, you can think of the circumstances that you have encountered where you've known tragedy and you've known sorrow, and think of the survey where people find their help in this world, and just think of the lostness and the hopelessness of where some people will look for their help. to imagine that certain people will honestly go on the internet and to look on the web for help when there is an amazing message of hope and help in this Bible is a great challenge to me as to how zealous I am at telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. The author to the Hebrews exhorts the readers to remember these things, and I pray that we would remember them as we encounter difficulties in our lives, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And may we read of him, and that it may help us in our circumstances, that we can see what Jesus was like, and therefore we can see what he is like now, and know that God will be with us and will help us in all of the circumstances until he calls us home to be with him. Jesus' power has been, is, and will be sufficient for us. Jesus' grace has been, is, and will be sufficient for us. Jesus' love has been, is, and will be sufficient for us. Jesus' mercy has been, is, and will be sufficient for us. Come to him with all of your needs, whatever they may be, and know that the Lord Jesus is sufficient and that he hasn't changed from how we read of him in the Bible. Shall we pray to our God? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this verse, Lord. We thank you for how it speaks to a people who are experiencing difficulty and trial and troubles. And Lord, we thank you how it speaks to us in our lives, because it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our Lord, we do pray that you would help us to digest this, Lord, to meditate upon it in our own lives, to apply it to our own specific circumstances. We pray that you would help us to see Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that we would lean upon him, knowing that he is able and he is willing to be our helper and to be our guide through this life. And we thank you, Lord, that one day we will be with him in heaven, and our tears will be wiped away, and we will know no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. We will just worship you, and we will be with the Lamb upon the throne. We pray, our Father, that you would help us to apply these truths to our lives, Lord. This is reality and this is truth. And we ask, Lord, that you would make it truth to us and that you would increase our faith to be able to see it in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you'll turn with me in your hymn books to hymn number three, or our third hymn, should I say, is hymn number 143 in your red hymn books. As I was preparing this, I read the words, and they really spoke to me. All three verses are a great message of joy and hope, and they speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially the second verse, which is applicable here. It says, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, spread his praise from shore to shore. How he loveth, ever loveth, changeth never, nevermore. How he watches o'er his loved ones, died to call them all his own. How for them he intercedes, watching them from his throne." Shall we sing together hymn number 143? We're going to pray in a moment, and I'll read some familiar words, but they're helpful to what we've been thinking about this evening. They're from Jude, verses 24 and 25. It says, as we pray, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Amen.